When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, my favorite podcast to listen to on long flights across the galaxy.
This is the way.
We're wanted men.
Everything that's happening now is happening now.
We're at ludicrous speed. Welcome to episode 171 of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. We're going live on Facebook right now. Believe it or not, we're doing something crazy. I'm Glenn, and Jason is with me. He's in his toy room, moved downstairs. And
hello there.
It's Monday night. We had a crazy weekend, so we're recording on Monday night. And yeah, awesome. How are you doing?
I worked all weekend.
Yeah, woohoo!
Yay for work!
Yay, work!
Work is fun.
Yeah. Well, you partied though too, right?
Yeah, so I was part of the PPC, the Party Planning Committee.
Yes.
And we had our holiday party. And we have it at the Braves Stadium, Truist Field?
Truist Park, or the Battery, Truist. Or whichever.
All of the above. And, the alcohol was flowing.
Yeah, you had a nice sexy red jacket on.
I don't remember how many I had. I cut myself off at 10:30 because, like I said, I'm part of the planning committee, so I had to make sure the event was going well. And I saw other members of the party planning committee drinking. So I was like, one of us should be sober enough to run this thing.
Right. And awesome. Did y'all do anything? Was it just like an upscale party or was it like?
Yeah, it was an upscale party. There was karaoke. There was sit down dinner. There was casino games and raffles. And it was a good time.
Cool. Jerry says that we are interrupting his Jeopardy watching.
Well, then go. Go watch Jeopardy. Jeopardy.
What is Smuggler's Galaxy podcast?
Yes. What? It's your favorite podcast in the galaxy.
Right. And we're interrupting Jeopardy.
The answer is?
Right.
Oh, what is Smuggler's Galaxy podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had my grandkids all weekend, so it was fun. But yeah, it's exhausting.
Just a little bit.
So yeah, my grandson, he is 8. So he's been reading and he's like telling me all about Star Wars, which is really, it's a really cool nerd grandpa moment. he's like,
you're getting schooled.
Yeah. He's like, I like Kylo Ren. I'm like, all right, dude, at least you know who he is.
He's that guy that's got the red devil face and horns, right?
Right. Yeah.
Who's always fighting Obi-Wan?
Kenobi!
Kenobi! It's been busy. Real busy.
Cool. So you get to plan two. Well, no, next year you'll get to plan two parties.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Holy.
I must hate myself for signing up for so much work.
Oh, geez. Did you pick anything up? Anything cool?
Yeah, I did. I have a great wave that came in from Hasbro.
Yeah.
TVC figures. I wrote that down so I can tell you exactly what I got. I got the Chopper, TVC Chopper. TVC Hera. What's the guy with the dark saber? Previsla?
Yeah.
Darth Revan and the new Mandalorian version of R5.
Nice.
So I picked those up.
Are you going to open up R5 to the, go with your N1 that you're going to open up?
Yeah. that voice crack wasn't anticipated. So, but yeah. Yes, sir.
Totally.
Totally. It's going to get open. But the Razor Crest is open.
Yeah. Well, that Razor Crest needed to be open.
I also made the trade for one of the other chases in the Micro Galaxy Series 4 blind packs. So I got that. I think I have all the chases and rares for the Series 4. I don't have all of the blind... Not. I'm talking specifically the blind packs.
Right.
There's a couple blind packs that I'm missing. And then on Payday, I've been collecting the promo cards that Hasbro will pass out like at San Diego Comic-Con or Celebration, maybe from like 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so there was a 30th anniversary one that I have that was a Stormtrooper, and it was Payday. I woke up and someone posted the Luke Skywalker version of it for $15.
Cha-ching.
I'm like, oh, I'll take that.
Right.
So I just got that today. And then I'll get into this more in detail in a little bit, but I did go to Ross and I did pick up a Black Series Han, old version of Han, The Force Awakens, and then a Tarkin. And I figured they could just be Cantina custom fodder. So Tarkin is up on the Black Series. I do have some Black Series open.
Oh,
he's on the dark side shelf, but I'm afraid now that he's on the shelf, I might be less inclined to take him down and customize him.
Maybe you should. So we'll see.
Maybe I guess I'll have to go to Ross and find another $6 Black Series figure. I also bought a table to put my Cantina on, and I'm gonna adhere the Cantina to the table and then add some lights and stuff. So I have another project ahead of me because apparently I don't have enough work to do.
No, you don't.
I think I found like 3 seconds at 103:59 at night. So or in the morning, I should say. So I can.
Who needs sleep?
Yeah, who needs sleep? How about you?
Oh, yes. I had a pretty eventful week. Now I can't remember what I picked up, but
it must have been eventful.
It was eventful. They came in today, but I actually freaking Funko re-released the Thrawn pop from Rebels, except his arms are crossed in front of him instead of behind him. And since that's the only run of pops that I kept with the Rebels run, so I had to buy that. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I get out of pops, they drag me screaming back in. And they've also got they've got a new Sabine that's on the Rebel side of things. So I got to buy that soon whenever she comes out. I know there was something else, but I really should like take a page out of your book and like write notes.
It does help. Especially as you get older.
Yeah.
You start to forget things.
It's bad. But I made a trade and got a first shot Ted, the tuxedo Ted from Bill and Ted, the one where he's in shorts and a tuxedo jacket.
Yeah, but what do you trade for that?
Extra first shot, extra hard copies.
Oh, okay.
Pieces that I had.
Trade. So you had duplicate hard shot, hard copies?
Well, like I had the head, I had a Bill head, I had like a extra Grim Reaper body, and I had some Billy the Kid.
Oh, legs. So those were your pieces that he posted today on one of the groups. Okay.
Yes, he got those from me. So we had made a deal.
Awesome.
He had offered me the Ted, and then he's like, hey, you want to do a trade? And then we made a deal. He shot me an offer, and I'm like, I can't refuse that offer.
Make him an offer and can't refuse.
Exactly. So yeah. No, I'm scrolling Deal or No Deal with my Christmas bonus, trying to figure out what I'm going to buy.
Yeah, or you could just save it.
Yeah, save it for Toylana or something. Oh, I was gonna say a tour. So my wife ended up mailing the hard copy pieces to him, and she went to the post office, and you know, she's filling out all the paperwork and everything, and if she's like, well, you know, check here if it's fragile. And she's like, well, it's not, it's fragile, but it's not all these other things. And the lady was like, well, you gotta sign, you know, sign for it. You do have to check fragile because it's fragile, even though it's not these five things. And then she's like, well, do you need insurance? And she's like, well, what is it? My wife's like, it's a toy. And then the lady was like, well, do you need insurance? And my wife's like, yeah, I need about $600 worth of insurance on it. And the lady's like, for a toy? And she's like, somebody way in the back. It was like laughing, and they all are just, she just hears this guy behind her just laugh, and he just totally gets it. And she was like, you know, those boys and them toys, this is big boy stuff. So it was just, it was a funny thought.
Fragile. It's holiday time, so you have to say fragile. You can't say fragile.
Right. Fragile.
It's Italian.
Things that just make sense. No.
But yeah, so there's news. There's not good news.
No, it's not.
And yeah, it's kind of stinks that we're recording Monday night, because Hasbro, I guess there was an internal memo that was obtained by CNBC and the Wall Street Journal. The reporting that Hasbro is cutting 1,100 jobs after sluggish toy sales persist into the holidays. CEO Chris Cox says challenging conditions expected to stretch into next year, prompting another round of layoffs. This Wall Street article that I just read from was written by Ben Glickman. We anticipated the first three quarters to be challenging, particularly in toys, where the market is coming off historic pandemic-driven highs, he said to an email to all employees. I would just like to remind our audience that Cox got 250% more total compensation in 2023, which is $9.4 million than he did the previous year. So good job to you, Chris. At one point, Cox said that they were going to raise prices and make bigger margins. So he's preying on fans to increase their margins and get him that $9.4 million. No wonder why the hobby's dying. He's just raising prices to bleed us dry.
I think that happens in every industry, though.
It does, but, I mean, there's a difference between Jim Swearengin walking into a theater and going, this is great. I got to make toys. This is going to be great. People are going to be fans of this, and we're going to share the love, and you've got this guy. We're just going to bleed him dry.
It's all about the bottom line, man.
According to Jedi Temple Archives, Chris Cox wants to make Hasbro's partner brands more profitable. And the whole company, the ambitious overall goal was to reach 20% operating margin for the company, an increase of about 7 percentage points. This was about 2 years ago. Hasbro closed at 48.89 on the stock market, which is down 21% at the start of the year. Mattel closed at 18.91 today. That's nearly 6% increase since the start of the year. They're increasing somehow the value of their company without hiking prices.
Well, they've got Barbie though, right? Mattel does.
They've got Barbie, they've got Hot Wheels, but they're not charging $40 for Barbies.
No. I mean, Hot Wheels, I've seen Hot Wheels go up, I think, to a buck and a quarter. And
a buck.
Yeah.
That's a big difference than Black Series going from 22 to 27.
Right. And I know some of the Barbies. I mean, my wife collects some of the higher end Barbies. And I mean, those get into the $100 range, but yeah, unlike Black Series, you're willing to pay that money for the high-end Barbies because you get the qualities there.
Yeah, well, and then you tie this into, like I said, I went to Ross this week and I saw the two Black Series. I saw the deluxe Stormtrooper with the web cannon, the deluxe Ahsoka with Grogu. I saw a bunch of vintage collection. A lot of it was repacks, like the Mace Windu, the child version of Anakin. There was some of the retro collection there, Darth Vader, all on discount. They had that Rey lightsaber for $60 that people have been posting here and there. And it's like, this is not resonating with fans. They also had that exclusive, what do they call it? The rescue set, which was a Hascon exclusive for $80. It came with the Mandalorian, a Dark Trooper, Moff Gideon, and Grogu. Someone found that at Ross for $10.
Jeez.
And so, again, I was like trying to figure out this week, how is that possible? Is it that because of the popularity of the Mandalorian that they oversold that pack? Or, excuse me, overmade that pack?
Mm-hmm.
And then they made too many, and then they just assumed that people would buy it, and they didn't buy it? Is it a sign that Star Wars as a brand is not as strong as it used to be? It's suffering? Or do, I mean, that was a pack of repacks as an exclusive. Are people just tired of that?
I think all of the above.
The archive stuff that I told you I picked up from Ross, those are repacks. The Ahsoka was available as a TVC figure by itself without the deluxe. The Stormtrooper obviously has been available in TVC. The Anakin from The Phantom Menace was a repack. The Samuel Jackson, Mace Windu was a repack. It's just, they're all repacks at Ross. It's like, take the hint, guys. We don't want to buy that stuff. If they were getting creative, if they were giving us new stuff, if they were giving us reasons to be excited and to fork over the $30, then yeah, I don't think the stock would be as low and they would be laying people off. But the strategy of producing reprints, repaints and repacks is just not working. It's killing the brand.
Right. No, I agree 100%. We always say vote with your wallet. I think people are finally getting the hint. I think, like you said, we're tired of repacks, man. And the only, you know, and I think the newer stuff hitting Ross like it is now, I think that Rey lightsaber, you know, it's a $200 lightsaber that's, $60 right now, you said, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that was a popular lightsaber to begin with, but
no,
people are figuring stuff out. It, you know, wait for the stuff to go on clearance, and here it is on clearance racks, and it's still sitting there.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just it's sad that, you know, people are losing their jobs because of this, because of the lack of leadership at Hasbro.
Right. Well, I think that's going to happen a lot more places too. Because I don't think they're the only company that has bad leadership.
Yeah, and his excuse is like high inflation. Well, yeah, that is part of the problem, but you need to have a strategy to combat that. You need to give people a reason to say, well, you know, there's tons of things I could spend my money on. I could go buy, you know, Indiana Jones of the Dial of Destiny, or I could spend that $30 on an action figure. And, you know, like, those are the small choices that someone might have to make.
Right.
If there's any other number of things that we can do for fun for $30, you have to convince me to give you my money. And if you're just going to repack things, repaint it, I'm not going to give you my money.
Right. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I've got $30 to spend or $50 to spend. I'm not going to go buy two Black Series figures when, you know, and they're, like you said, they're all repacks, or I can go, on the secondary market and maybe buy an older figure or buy a maybe a vintage piece or go to another toy line or save it and buy my kids something.
I'm reminded of when the Great Depression, I wasn't there, obviously. I just know from history and stunning film and stuff. Obviously the Great Depression, people were hurting, and the movie theaters, the movie production company said, we need to give people a reason to come to the movies. And that's why we got all those great monster movies from the 30s and the 40s, is because they had to do something salacious. They had to do something exciting and new to get people in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that was working.
Right.
And so you need to have that kind of mentality. You can't just say, well, it's the Great Depression. We're just gonna stink right now. It's like, no, you have to get creative. You have to work harder. You have to do your job to lead the company towards profit.
Right. And it's just like I keep saying, because like we were talking to our buddy Ted Force, of course, your bite-sized Star Wars podcast. Those guys, check them out. You know, he's like talking about the Padme that they're releasing. He's like, why are they doing this cheap version of Padme? And then he, or Queen Amidala, you know, and he's like, I would pay $50 for a decked out version of Queen Amidala. And it's like, dude, I've been preaching that for the last year that, you know, we're willing to pay for it, but Hasbro, it's falling on deaf ears.
Yeah. Yeah, they picked a version that doesn't have a lot of plastic, doesn't have a lot of paint applications. It's a simple one. Oh, you want Padme? Let me give you the cheap one.
Right. Where instead of saying, you know, hey, we'll charge you $50, but you're going to get a very deluxe figure that's worth the $50. And they just, either somebody's scared to do it or they just don't, they just don't know what the market is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I welcome them. I seriously doubt they're not doing market research. They've got to know what's out there. They've got to know the other companies, you know, the custom toy makers that are out there doing stuff. You know, they've got to see that stuff. And it doesn't, I don't get it. Why they're not, they have a better pulse of the collecting community right now.
Because I think they can rest on their laurels and say, we've done this for so long. We have the brands. People will come. And no, people are going to stop coming.
Right.
Don't take that sound clip out of context. listen to David Quinn's podcast today about the ToyCon,
yeah,
New Jersey. I mean, he was seeing the same kind of stuff we're seeing here where people are discounting the Black Series and the Marvel Legends, and it's just not selling. Mm-hmm. It's not resonating. People don't want it.
Right. And I don't understand the Marvel. I don't do Marvel Legends, you know, enough to understand what the market is for it. So I know they did a lot of repacks and stuff, and they did it very tastefully, versus what they're doing with the Star Wars market. But you know, then again, I think I know I keep talking about the Four Horsemen, but you look at a Four Horsemen figure, and they reuse a lot of like the feet. They've got like basically two or three sets of feet that they use on those figures.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, they reuse pieces, but they do it in such a way to where like, it doesn't stand out that much. I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things, but then like the Four Horsemen, people are lining up an hour before a show opens to buy their stuff at $40 a figure. So they don't have to pay it on the secondary market, you know, double that.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't get what Hasbro's thinking.
I'll tell you, like, it really doesn't bother me. It bothers me, yes. Okay, so yes, I do get upset when I see, like, people lose their job. Hasbro's getting less creative. I find my passion, and I never thought I would be one of these people who make dioramas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding so much value and so much fun making my own cantina to go around the Black Series and then trying to think through. So Lance Peter Luke is the guy that's on Instagram, like I've mentioned before, who makes the heads, and he comes up with ways to create aliens and paint things new and make it look like the aliens. But then I'm also like, well, I don't really like how that alien looks, but maybe I can use this body. So I'm getting creative and trying to figure things out myself, trying to figure out how I can make aliens that Lance Peter Luke hasn't made yet. So I'm finding that very valuable, and I'm enjoying that more. I'm just afraid like Hasbro's not going to, I mean, if they're not making Luke Skywalkers and Luke Skywalkers are not selling, there's no way that they're going to make a deep cut alien from the cantina Black Series anytime soon.
Right.
Like even Snaggletooth, I don't think we're going to get anytime soon.
Mm-mm.
And so that's the part that really bothers me, is that I'm kind of finding this passion, but I don't think Hasbro's going to support it.
Right. Well, that's when you got to go digging through the $5 bins to find fodder.
Yeah.
Or unless I just missed your point that you're waiting for Hasbro to make it instead of you making it yourself.
Well, yeah, but then they're also not going to be making. Yeah, yeah. They're not going to help support my hobby. They're going to back down. They're not going to make as much. They're going to see this as, I guess the fans aren't there anymore, rather than we need to fight to get them back.
Right. I mean, do you think that there's going to, I mean, how am I going to put this? Do you feel that there may be like the end of the line coming soon?
I think it feels like it's winding down. It feels like towards the end of the TVC 1.0.
Right.
In 2010 when it started to wind down and they weren't making they're making some really weird video game related characters that didn't resonate with audiences, and that's part of the reason why that version died. When I see all these repacks and repaints, I think they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. They're going to destroy themselves, or people are going to leave the hobby because it's like, I don't need to buy Greedo for the sixth time or the heavy Mandalorian trooper for the sixth time. It's okay, guys, you can move on.
Right.
But they don't want to do that.
Yeah. You see, I wasn't into Star Wars at that time. So I don't know. You've lived there. It sounds like you lived it, right?
Yeah. I've been fighting this fight since I was 6 years old. But yeah, no, I just, it's disappointing. And I think the only thing that might bring it back is a movie that resonates with audiences. But even then, I don't think we're going to get, I think they're going to scale back even from like the Force Awakens days when there was 20-ish, 25-ish figures.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see a new movie getting supported like that anymore.
Right. Because I mean, the Ahsoka show isn't being supported like it should be.
Right. I mean, Ahsoka got, what, 5 or 6-ish figures right. to support that show? And they came out relatively around the time the show came out. I mean, that's much better than Mandalorian when we had to wait a year, year and a half.
Right.
It didn't cool off as much, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking of Cobb Vanth. Cobb Vanth, you bought, and then you canceled it because he came out a year and a half later and you had cooled on the character in the show and you're like, I don't need this anymore. Whereas it would have been a more impulse buy if it came out right when the show aired.
Oh yeah. I would have totally bought it right when the show aired because yeah, you're right. But you cool on a figure and you see it in person and you're like, it's not as cool as you thought it was going to be.
Right.
And I still had opportunities to buy him and I haven't bought him.
You haven't pulled the trigger.
Haven't.
But yeah, I think it's going to take a movie to start that train back running. But even then, when the train starts chugging, it's going to take a while to get to full speed. And, you know, will people jump on board?
Right. I mean,
are they just going to let the train go down the tracks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hasbro is going to have to be, Lucasfilm is going to have to let loose some of their secretivity, you know, and let Hasbro produce figures that you know, and there's going to be spoilers and it may piss some people off. But if they're really wanting to turn things around, they're going to have stuff on the shelf when the movie premieres.
Yeah.
You know, there's no more of this. I mean, we're still waiting on the two bad guys from Ahsoka, right? The Baylan and the...
Shin-Hati.
Yeah, Shin-Hati. We're still waiting on those two guys, right?
Yeah, they're on their way. But even Landspeeder Luke made a video that was very critical. He got those in advance and he made a video based on what he didn't like about those figures. He actually replaced the legs on Shin-Hati to make her shorter because she was just as tall in figure form as Baylan Skull.
That's not right.
No. So there was a bunch of things. It's just, Hasbro just didn't do that right. And I don't know if they reused parts because they couldn't sculpt something new or what the case may be, but it just, when you look at them, I would recommend people to watch that review video because it does show like they kind of dropped the ball. They missed the mark there.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that stinks.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, what they say, what's the phrase? It's better to love and not love. Or no, absence makes the love stronger.
Right.
And so I'm like, maybe cooling the line will make people love Star Wars more and get them wistful and want to collect again. But I kind of have a feeling like if they were to rest the line, people are going to get off the bandwagon. They're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, because there's a lot of toy manufacturers knocking on everybody's door right now. There's no shortage of places to spend money.
No. And I do wonder if maybe Mattel should take over the line, even though that'd be an exit point, but I think that we need a hungry company to come in and be like, I can do this and I can do it better than the previous guy.
Right. I mean, that's, I think why Kenner got it is because they were, you know, people that turned it down and they needed the money, you know, they, and they were hungry. Like you just said, they were hungry and they had stuff to prove.
Yeah. I know you've mentioned this rumor before and I've kind of dismissed it, but then the Hot Mics, Jeff Snyder reported on it and he's pretty reputable and he gets word and he said that Mando season 4 might actually become a movie and that movie might be announced by the end of the year. I would rather have a 2-hour movie than the filler episode of NCIS Droid Murderer with Jack Black and Lizzo.
Yeah.
And so if they could strip that down and make it a 2-hour movie rather than having those filler episodes, well, maybe that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
And maybe Jon Favreau, who wrote most of those episodes, is just like, I don't have it in me to do another 8. And the quality is not where I want it to be. Let's just do a movie.
Right.
I think the question is, so, you know, 8 episodes is like a $100 million endeavor. And so would they invest $100 million into a 2-hour movie? Or will we get like a $30 million Star Wars movie?
I mean, what's a normal movie cost?
Star Wars movie, it's anywhere between like 150, 200 million. I think Solo was expensive, like the $250 million range because they had to shoot it twice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe we'll get a $100 million movie and then they'll see what happens. But you're going to have to, you know, announce that it's not going to be on Disney Plus for a year. I think if you're going to have to force people into the theaters, you're going to, because like we said before, people are going to want to wait to Disney Plus, but you know, hey, I did watch Dial of Destiny the other day.
All right, we'll side table that first towards the end of the episode.
Watching that movie and kind of trying to watch it through your eyes because you were so excited. You know what I mean? You know, and remembering the stuff you said about it, how you were like, this is the last time I'll see an Indiana Jones movie, you know, in a theater, or Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones. Last time I'm going to hear John Williams' score. You know, and watching it with those eyes, you're like, yeah, this is something you had to see in a theater.
Yeah.
Even
when I watched it on Disney Plus, the end credits came on and I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's John Williams' last soundtrack.
Right. So you're going to have to do something to where you get people in the theater.
Will audiences go to the theater to see a Mandalorian because they've been trained to see it on Disney Plus?
I hope so. I would go if I knew what it was and I knew that, you know, this is what you're going to get. Then, like I said, man, you're going to have to dangle a carrot in front of their faces to get them to go.
It's weird because with like Netflix, a Netflix movie drops and they're releasing stuff to theaters, but that's just to qualify things for the Oscars because it needs to be in a theater in, I think, Los Angeles for a week in order to qualify. And like, yeah, sure, it's a Netflix movie. I'll go watch it on Netflix. But when a Disney makes a movie, it's like, where does it belong? Does it belong on Disney Plus? Does it belong in the theaters? They're a multimedia conglomerate with multiple arms and it could go on the web, it can go on YouTube, it can go play in theme parks. It's like there's a lot they can do with their stuff. It's what's the right answer? Is it the theater? Is it Disney Plus? I don't know.
Or maybe it's one of those, like you said, you play it a week at a theater just to qualify it. I there's no right answer, I don't think, unless you know you're trying to force people into the theaters.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all ties together because now Ahsoka is in play. Grand Admiral Thrawn is in play. Ezra's in play. But then, you know, the Mandalorian is his own character. And I don't think for his first movie, we need to incorporate all those characters. I'm thinking that it's got to be something Moff Gideon related that brings him out of retirement because he was home on the range with his kid, just hanging out on the front porch. He's got no need to do any bounties. He's living the dad life and it's time for him to graduate to the dad bod and I think Moff Gideon needs to come.
Batha tank somewhere.
Yeah, something like that.
Finish Moff Gideon needs to what?
Yeah, I think Moff Gideon, I think it needs to be personal. I think that's the only way the story can move forward, because I think it'll feel forced if the Mandalorian says, I'm going to go take this one bounty. I'm going to go do this one job.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be personal. I think Moff Gideon needs to strike and make him come out of retirement.
From what I've heard, there's going to be a ton of Mandalorians in this season. So it's going to be, I think they're progressing the race, the Mandalorian race. So I'm hoping we're going to see a lot more. And maybe it is something like that. Maybe you do have like half the movie, you got like a Mandalore Bo-Katan focused, and then somewhere midway they go find, you know, Moth Gideon shows up, and you got to go bring Din Djarin out of retirement, and then you can throw Thrawn in there too. Because he's,
yeah,
huh?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, because he's been mentioned in The Mandalorian.
Jerry says that Mandalorian needs to come out of retirement so he can pay for Grogu's college tuition.
That's what all the Beskar's for.
Yeah. Hi, Ralph. Merry Christmas to you. Yeah, hi, Donnie.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, Jordan. Sam. Hope all is well.
Yes. Sounded like a romper room in a romper room. I remembered what the third thing I got.
Okay.
Was the Micro Galaxy Squadron TIE Bomber.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an impressive piece. It opens up. It shows you a bunch of stuff with that you don't normally see on a TIE bomber that you haven't seen before, because the bomber part opens up and you can see all the bombs and you realize what pieces were that you don't, and the diecast. And I think where they fell short with that is they didn't include another TIE bomber pilot. They should have included two micro action figure accessories.
Just think, that prototype was first revealed on our podcast.
Dude, I got another thing that yes, it was. That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes.
I got another thing that I got a gripe about.
Okay.
We reported something when we came back from Chattanooga. We were for the first ones to break it, and then everybody ran with it.
What?
Huh?
What?
Who did Vanessa Marshall say she wanted to play?
Hera.
No.
Wait.
If she could play one person.
Mara Jade.
We reported that stuff. We were the first ones to report it. And I guess she was at another convention, and she said that, I want to play Mara Jade. And next thing you know, it's all over the internet.
I'm like, guess what?
We reported it first.
Nobody pays attention to us. That's the problem. That just goes to show that we're not on the pulse of the Star Wars community.
Maybe we need to start like making posts to be like, we saw her do it. We have it recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was just like 2 weeks later, it's all over the internet. And then people are like, how could she play Mara Jade? She's too old. I'm like, if it's on if it's a cartoon, it doesn't matter how old she is.
Yeah, when is that's a popular character like Thrawn. I mean, we've got what's his face? Thrawn's assassin appeared in Rebels with Roke?
Right.
Rocky.
Like that. Yeah.
Samsonite. I was way off. That was a Dumb and Dumb reference, people. But yeah, where's Mara Jade? Where's that in the new content? Let's bring her back.
Dude, you'd have to retcon so much stuff to put her in.
You don't have to retcon. You just make your own version up now.
Yeah, I guess, because I mean Luke does end up on the freaking planet somewhere. But how are her and Luke gonna fall in love and make baby Jedi?
They don't. They won't and they don't. Spoiler. Or maybe maybe they fall in love and she dies, and that forces Luke to have that moment of anger or something. He's disturbed.
Damn, dude. That hurts.
Sorry.
That hurts. But it would make sense.
The fictional character's death from a fictional story is hurting you.
You watch Kanan sacrifice himself for the Ghost Crew and don't cry.
Yeah, I didn't. Rumor has it the new Rey movie will start filming this April in London.
Mm-hmm.
and it will be about her starting up a new Jedi Order. It will revolve around two kids, which sounds a lot like George Lucas's original treatment for Episode 7, which is about Luke Skywalker training two new Jedis as he starts a new Jedi Order. We're just going to move it up a couple decades and give it to Rey instead of Luke.
And who's directing?
I want them to take...
Who's directing what? It?
Oh, it, what was her name?
Okay, never mind. You answered your question. It's not Dave. Dave has nothing to do with it.
No, this is not them. And Damon Lindelof was part of the writer's room, so he wrote the original draft. Someone else has come in and rewrote it. George Lucas's script was going to explore the origins of the Force.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was going to cover some of that stuff that was in Jedi Survivor and Fallen Order with the ancient race of aliens that kind of started the Force. So I'm hoping they fold in something like that, because I appreciate what Ridley Scott did with Prometheus. I know it didn't resonate well with the Alien fans, but he made Alien, and then everyone else just made more Alien movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back to the franchise. He said, no, let's explore the guys that were sitting in the chair, the engineers. Let's explore. So he kind of took a left turn, and I'm hoping I think that's what Star Wars needs. I don't think we need another A New Hope, The Force Awakens kind of reboot 2.0 sequel, whatever you want to call it, a retheme, but it's basically a reboot, remake.
Right.
I don't want that. Give us a right turn. Give us something new.
Yeah. No, I wasn't into Aliens, but yeah, we definitely, it needs some fresh blood in Star Wars. And I think we were on that path and it kind of fell apart. And what stinks is people are looking at the bottom line and they're like, well, we can't do it this way anymore because, oh my gosh, people really want to see an old Harrison Ford play an old Han Solo. It's like, no, we're good with we're good with the recasting. Just freaking don't half butt it. You know, if you're going to do it, pedal to the metal and go for it. Don't pull back.
Think it through. Do it right.
Yeah.
The only other piece of news that I had, a lot of people are getting that A-Wing from the Micro Galaxy Squadron, and the pilot's not fitting in the cockpit.
I've seen that.
And that's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Not only is it not the right A-Wing, but you can't even get your pilot inside.
My Hera fits in the A-Wing just fine, but I guess she's got different legs or something.
Yeah. I don't know if the quality control issue or what, but it's a problem for people.
Mm-hmm. It is, dude. That whole series. I'm going to save that for our end of year podcast. But
okay.
Yeah, I've got thoughts. And I don't want to keep hashing them out, but I want to save my thoughts on Micro Galaxy for the end of the year. Because
okay.
You've kind of got, yeah. I give Jerry, too much away sometimes, so I'm just going to shut up. But hey, if you've got an email that you guys want to send us your end of the year thoughts, you know, smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Send it in. We'll read it.
Jerry brought up Taika's movie. I was wondering if Taika's going to bring it. And it's possible. His movie is probably the furthest away from going into production. He was talking about making a movie about the Dawn of Jedi. And so was James Mangold, who directed Dial of Destiny. So it's weird to have competing movies about the same era. Ryan Johnson's still on the slate, even though he's not really like in production, but that hasn't been removed. But that might be like 15 years down the road. He might want to make another Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. Filoni's still moving forward with his. There's three movies in production. Was it James Mangold's movie? Kevin Feige's movie's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not moving forward. So, and then maybe a Mandalorian movie. So maybe we'll have four movies in production, and whatever resonates, that's the one we're going to get the sequel to.
I don't know. As long as we figure out what's going on with us, Bean and Ezra and all the crew, they can't leave that storyline hanging out there.
Ralph says that Walmart Micro Galaxy Squadron multi-pack $17 and $20. He's talking about the big ones.
Yeah, the ones that they were selling for $50, $60, and now they're under $20.
Yeah, I mean, that's just more evidence that maybe it's not Hasbro. Maybe it's Star Wars brand in general is kind of on the decline in the modern markets.
It scares me a little bit because, like, I mean, I know we already, the HasLab Ghost is in production or starting to be production, and they've already got the money, but it just something, it just, I keep thinking that's 6, 7, 8 months out, and I'm just hoping it doesn't get kicked down the, you know, kick that can down the road.
No, that'll go in production. That'll go in production. We'll get that.
Right.
I think, well, I mean, that's not so much a concern. I'm thinking like the ancillary characters, the support staff that would go inside the Ghost. Because we've got a Hondo. We already have a Hondo. So who else could go into the Ghost that we don't have?
Jeez, you've got that guy with the horns.
Oh, Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, well, they already got
Jabba the Hutt figure.
Yeah.
Jabba. That was a joke.
Yes, Ezra, I know Ezra.
Okay.
And in Lando, maybe we'll get a Lando that's not going to peg warm.
Maybe that ASP droid.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of figures they can make.
But unlike the sail barge when there was tons of aliens and Hasbro's been supporting that Return of the Jedi moment. By releasing four packs, even this year, we got a new four pack with Squidhead to go on the barge. So, I mean, that's not going to happen with the Ghost. I would hope that if they were to do something else, TVC, I don't know. Well, I'm looking at the cantina right here. If they did a TVC HasLab cantina, like in 5 years, will there still be a Hasbro Star Wars line to support with aliens?
Yeah, you would hope there would be.
And the way things are going right now, if there was, they wouldn't do the deep cuts of the Tanaka sisters. Or what's the pink alien? I just made her. The pink alien woman lady.
With all the balls?
The balls?
No, that's something. That's from Holiday Special or something.
They already made a figure for her.
Oh, yeah.
She's wearing a spacesuit jumper, and she's got an elongated head with, like, hair wrapped in braids down the center.
Right. As soon as you showed it to me, I knew who you were talking about.
Is Narayan watching? He would know.
No, he's emailing us stuff for Rogue Fun.
Oh. But yeah, like they're not going to make that character if the Star Wars line isn't strong. So I don't know. It's bad news. It's sad. And people, let's not lose. These subs, Serlin, thank you, Jerry. That's what I'm talking about. Leave it to Jerry. He's the other guy that knows the cantina. But yeah, go with that thought. Well, can't forget that 1,100 people worldwide are losing their jobs over this,
right,
too. So
it stinks.
We sound like a couple babies whining when people are losing their jobs.
Right.
Now, put it in perspective, I know.
You know.
But at the same time, it is my passion and my hobby, and
maybe if they did their jobs better, they wouldn't have lost them.
I'm not a car guy. I'm a Star Wars guy.
Yeah, we're Star Wars geeks.
So,
dude, speaking of Tyco, man, I started getting into What We Do in the Shadows. I finally got my wife to let me watch it.
The movie or the show?
The show.
Oh.
I haven't watched it because y'all told me not to watch the movie yet. Or don't. It doesn't compete. It's something you don't have to watch the show.
Yeah, you don't need to watch the movie to watch the show. I haven't watched the show. I probably should because of that Matt guy.
It's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
On the first season, they'd have like the Jedi, the Vampire Council, and it's like all these famous people are in it, and like Wesley Snipes is in it, but he's playing Blade, and he's on Skype, and he keeps cutting out. And then he's got like Taika Waititi's in it, and it's just like, though, that like 10 minutes of the Vampire Council is worth the whole episode because it's just hilarious. It's a funny show.
I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, and we're also, my wife, we finally, it's like because of the writer's strike and then the other strike and the Screen Actors Guild strike, it's like we got to find stuff to watch right now because not a lot of new stuff's coming out. And then we're also watching Schitt's Creek. You've seen that?
No, I haven't watched that one either.
It's not as good as it's got sort of the same feel as The Office or Parks and Rec, but it's not, they don't break the fourth wall. Because the one thing I do like about What We Do in the Shadows is they keep breaking the fourth wall, and they realize that they do more than what The Office does, because they're like, there's a scene where they're running away from like other vampires, and they show like the film crew running away from them and stuff, and they'll mention the film crew a bunch. But it's funny. And then Apple Plus, have you seen Monarch?
Not yet. That's one I want to watch with my son.
It's so good, because it's like a drama that has monsters in it versus a monster drama. The monsters are in the background. Like, they're there and they're happening, but they're not, and they're part of the story, but they're not, they're like secondary characters versus, you know, the big, big thing.
Interesting.
You know?
Interesting. Cause I saw Kong X Godzilla.
Uh huh.
And that just looked ridiculous.
No, this is done very well. And then they have, it's Kirk Russell and his son, and they play.
It sounds like it's more like the original Godzilla that Gareth Edwards directed, and not like the more recent goofy. Let's take what's the three-headed dragon, and take its brain and put it in Godzilla or whatever. Yeah. Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, it's nothing like that. It's
not silly.
Right, it's not silly. It's done. It's very well done. And it's got Kirk Douglas and his son, who played the evil Captain America.
Yeah, U.S. agent.
Okay, yeah, and then they're playing a young and an old version of each other.
Yeah.
So it's done really well. And like I said, man, if you guys are into, even if you're not into monsters, you can watch it without being like super into monsters, because it's just done so well.
Well, I'll have to give that a shot.
Yeah, definitely.
What were your thoughts on Dial of Destiny?
I actually enjoyed it. It was done very well. I don't know if I'm trying to decide how I feel about the time travel aspect of it, because it was...
My favorite explanation was, and spoilers, it's too late.
Right, it's
been
Disney out
Plus.
A year,
go
right?
Watch it. No, it's not a year. It's June, so half a year.
Okay, so it's been long enough.
Yeah, if that bothers you, you haven't been paying attention to Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Because the dude's face melts. And a guy ages 60 years in like 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And a guy rips a heart out.
I did not watch Crystal Skull before I watched
this. Also Aliens.
Should I have watched Crystal Skull before I watched this?
It does give some emotional weight to understand the relationship between Marion and Indiana Jones. There was a part that I got really teared up with because of Shia LaBeouf's character. And they start talking about Mutt, and that hit me harder than I thought it would.
Okay.
It does give some background.
Okay. But yeah, because I watched, because there's only four, right?
There's five now.
So I missed two movies before I watched this.
Yeah, there's... I mean, timeline-wise, it's Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade, Crystal Skull, and Dial of Destiny.
Okay, well, then I didn't watch Last Crusade. You know, yeah, because I didn't watch Last Crusade or Dial of Destiny before I watched this one.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to, but my wife was like, let's watch Dial of Destiny or whatever.
Yeah, this connects more to actually Crystal Skull than Last Crusade.
Okay.
Dial of Destiny, but...
Maybe I need to watch it. I mean, I thought it was a typical Indiana Jones movie. I mean, I'm sure that I missed some stuff not have seen missing the two movies. The time travel thing was kind of like, he was just like, leave me alone. You know, I just want to watch this battle unfold. So it definitely had the, I'm finally getting to watch history happen. And I'm going to die anyway. So leave me here and let me watch it happen. And then it was just total like, time travel thing where they had to be there to get whatever they needed to the future, you know, or whatever, to make everything happen. They had to be there, if I'm making sense. Just typical time travel stuff.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more than that, because as far as where Indiana Jones was in his life at that point, he was old.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his father. He lost his wife. And he lost his son. He had nothing to live for. So essentially, he was letting himself... He was essentially killing himself. Like, no, just my life doesn't matter. I don't matter. just let me be here.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe Waller-Bridger said, no, you've got a life worth living. I forget her name. Helena says, no, you've got a life worth living. So fight for it. That's what I've learned. And that's what you need to learn right now. And it was worth it.
Right. I didn't understand, you know, them flying the plane around and like shooting at everybody. Cause I'd have been like, just get the hell out of there. But then you realize that it all closed the circle.
Yeah.
You know, they affected the battle in the way that everything needed to happen to get the circle to close so that they can go back to the future.
Yeah.
I just realized.
Yeah, it's a closed loop time travel. Everything that happened is supposed to happen.
Right.
There's nothing they could do to affect things because things have already been affected.
Yeah.
Speaking of aliens.
Yes.
Did you see what happened this week in Congress?
No. Did one show up?
No, there was two bills.
Did they order Starbucks?
No. There's two bills in the Senate and in the House of Representatives to open up the files and to have disclosure. And the congressman in Huntsville, Alabama, and Dayton, Ohio, where Lockheed Martin and Boeing and NASA, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, shut it down and said no.
Wow.
So my question is, if there's nothing to hide, then why are they fighting so hard to hide it?
Right. You're right there, man.
Yes. We're so close to knowing that we're not alone in the universe.
Did you already know we're not alone in the universe? I know why they're hiding it because people are going to go crazy. You have a bunch of...
We've been so desensitized. This is not 1947 anymore.
Yeah.
We've seen the X-Files. We've seen Star Wars. Actually, you'd be more disappointed that they don't look like Snaggletooth.
They don't have the big green heads.
They don't look like Chewbacca. I can't hug that. It's not a walking carpet. It's always looking at me with those giant eyes. They look more like Biff than Chewie. The aliens are going to get pissed off because they're like, no, I'm not figuring Dan. Stop asking me to play you songs.
Oh, speaking of which, you saw that shirt I found, right? I sent it to you. I found another version of your crappy shirt from Hot Topic.
Yes. Tell people about it.
I sent it.
This is a Hot Topic shirt, right?
A Hot Topic shirt. I sent it to you and Narayan, right?
Yeah, and it was like Endor based.
So this is Endor. Okay, so this is Endor based version, and they have an AT-AT with snowspeeders circling it with a Tauntaun, and then they have the figure and Dan in it, and they have Jabba the Hutt.
It's just all, but the thing is that it's a green T-shirt,
right.
Or a green button down, so it looks like it's an Endor shirt.
Yes,
but then they have Hoth.
Yeah, then they got Hoth, and they have. I mean, I could understand Jabba the Hutt, because maybe it's a Return of the Jedi shirt. But then they have the Snowspeeder and AT-AT and Luke on a Tauntaun.
Yeah.
And this is actually Nordstrom Rack, but Ryan Spooner, Star Wars Rebels Polo is the way it's sold. But there's more, so... Yeah.
Okay.
I feel bad for people that are getting these shirts for Christmas. And my wife keeps getting big packages and won't let me look at them.
They're from the dogs.
Yeah. Probably.
She doesn't even know what's in them.
She doesn't. She's like, rrr. They say, rrr, rrr,
Sabine's rrr. On Amazon ordering you things. And
yes.
Your wife has no clue what's going on.
So hopefully we'll have a good Christmas.
I had to give someone some trouble this week because her name was Mandy, and I emailed her Mandy with an I.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I am not Mandy with an I. Mandy with an I is a stripper. I am not a stripper. I was like, well, my good friend, his wife is Mandy with an I, and she's not a stripper. And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's not a stripper. She works at a bank. She's like, strippers make bank. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. Wow. I have to tell her that story.
Yeah. So now there's a stereotype about Mandy's with eyes at the end of their name.
Oh, Lord. But
hopefully, next week we'll have some more announcements for Rogue Fun as far as panels are concerned.
Yeah.
And then we have our 2023 wrap-up show.
Yeah, because we got... Yeah, we'll do it the week of Christmas, right? Or the week after Christmas. When are we going to do the wrap-up show?
I don't know. Last year, we broke it up into like four parts. I don't know if we need to do that.
Well, we also had a lot more people on. We had like a panel, and then we did our personal one. And yeah, I don't think we need to do the whole panel thing. But
no, we could probably be a little bit more tighter with our waffling. But yeah, I don't know. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Anybody else there in Facebook land have anything? Now's the time.
Yeah.
Forever hold your peace.
We got six whole people watching us.
Six. Well, they're not saying anything.
No.
I'm trying to give people time to type, but what do you want for Christmas, Star Wars wise? Glenn?
I'd love to get the Galactic Heroes Phantom. But that's a pipe dream.
Anything that's been attainable? Anything within reach? Do you finally want that Cobb Vanth?
Sure, the Cobb Vanth. Or I've got, Sam Sams. Thanks, Sam. Anyway.
Sam says Hasbro sucks. That is all.
Oh, and Randy.
Kieti, yeah, you go.
He wants the Boba Fett retro wave, finally.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
The one that we were promised in the spring.
Dude, I don't know. I've gotten the problem with Star Wars is everything that I see, if I see it, I buy it. So I don't know.
All right.
But yeah, the Cobb Vanth would be fine. There's nothing that they're already releasing the Ghost. That I've been griping about that one for years. So we're finally getting that.
And you good.
And I'm good.
You good. Okay, well,
what about
thank
you?
You for,
what about you?
Oh, what do I want?
What do you want?
I probably just more filament so I can finish my cantina. I'm almost there. I could see the finish line. I've got like 3-4 chairs to print and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, thank you for listening to Smuggler's Galaxy podcast. Thank you for watching for those that are online. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts, if it's allowed. Really helps us out, points people to our show. You can follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Send us an email or message us. Love feedback. We'd love to make you part of the show. Tell us about your 2023. Email us at smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso Ribeiro for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. And thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. Oh, I'm suddenly out of breath. People, collect for the love of it. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. The truth is out there. This is the way.
This is the way. I want a Sabine TIE fighter from Micro Galaxy Squadron.
Oh, good luck for you.
Yeah.
Good luck. You got to go to Canada for that.
Hey.
And we're going to start that again.
I guess I'm going to Canada.
Yeah. The devil went to Canada to find himself a TIE.